be good. We are glad everybody's here today. Listen, and let me challenge you with something. Listen, if you've got a church home and you're just here today just to support the football team or just to be here for that or for some other reason, you're here today just passing through or whatever, and you have a church home, then next Sunday you go to that church home, okay? Perfectly good. We want you there. We want you to be in your church home. If you don't have a church home this morning, you are always welcome here, and I would challenge you, maybe just buckle in for a month and say, you know what, let's just try it out. Let's just see what God wants to do. Let's see how our kids like it. Let's see how I like Sunday school or whatever you come to. Just buckle in for a month and maybe see what God does in your life, what He shows you. That would be my challenge to you. If you don't have a church home, if you do have one, please go. Please go to it. But if you don't, we're glad that you're here this morning, and you are always welcome here. My name is Justin, and I'm the pastor here. All of you parents that are junior pro parents, you have talked to me before. You might not realize that, but all of you have talked to me. You've probably yelled at me before, and you don't even know it. You might not even know it. And also Slayton that was up here, you've probably yelled at him before. And also David that led our worship this morning, you've probably yelled or talked to him before. Because usually when you see us, we have stripes on at the football game. I thought about wearing that this morning just to trick y'all, just to throw y'all off. But hopefully that doesn't affect the fact that we want to talk about Jesus now. Hopefully we've done a good enough job to where y'all can set aside a couple of bad calls and still love us for who we are. We are imperfect. You know, Hannah Montana said, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So you got to work it again and again to get it right. You have to. And that's, Hannah Montana was right in that. Nobody's perfect. And the preacher's not perfect. The youth pastor, the music minister, the people in the pews, all of us struggle. And that's why we're here. We're not here because we're good at anything. We're here because we need Jesus. And we've been talking over the past few weeks. We're going to actually finish it this week. We've been talking about a guy named Elisha. Elisha was a guy in the Old Testament. He was a prophet, Old Testament preacher. And he was known because of the crazy amount of faith that he had. He knew what God could do even though he couldn't do it. Even though Elisha couldn't do certain things or the people he spoke to couldn't do certain things, Elisha knew that he served a God that could do what nobody else could do. And so he had faith in that God, same God we worship today. And we've talked about a bunch of different stories of Elisha and the faith that he had. Today we want to talk about this though. What happens when we feel like we've maybe lost the edge of our faith, or maybe we've lost our passion, or maybe we've lost the love that we used to have. We lost the faith that we used to have so strongly. What do we do when we've lost that? How do we renew that faith when we've lost it? And what might seem like a weird story to bring up about this, we're going to read in 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. If you have a Bible or you got it on your phone, you can look it up. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. Maybe not on that screen because we think we toasted that particular projector. So you look on this screen, it'll be up there. But if you've got it in your own Bible, you can follow along as well. We all lose stuff, okay? We all lose stuff. And usually when we lose something, it's never just, oh, I've lost this. It's usually somebody else has it. Or somebody else has misplaced it. Somebody else has put it somewhere else. You lose your keys and you scream about it for about 15 minutes and you realize they're in your pocket, right? That goes like that. Or you holler about you can't see the TV screen, you need your glasses, or you're getting ready to go drive, you need your glasses. You're screaming, where are they at? I can't find them. And you're flailing around the whole house, turning stuff over, and then they're on your head or they're around your neck. We all lose stuff, and it's important to have keys, it's important to have your glasses, it's important to have that stuff, but when we lose spiritually the faith that we once had, that's more important, and that's a game changer. When we've been strong in our faith, and we've had a moment where we follow Jesus closely, we remember what that felt like, and we lose that, we kind of lose that edge a little bit, That's a problem. That's a bigger problem than losing your keys. That's a bigger problem than losing your glasses or losing your homework. It's bigger. When we've lost that passion, when we've lost that joy or hope, we're not the same that we used to be. That's an issue. We need to know how to get that back. We need to know how to renew that when we've lost it. And this guy named Elisha, we over the past few weeks, we've talked about some incredible stories of faith that this guy had. One of them, if you've not followed with this, one of them, when God called Elisha through another prophet called Elijah, don't get confused, because the first week I preached this, I got confused because I had to say those two different words. But when God called Elisha, he was actually out plowing in his dad's field. He was working for his dad. He had 12 rows of oxen in front of him, and he had a plow. He was plowing. God calls him through the other prophet, Elijah, and he says, hold up, I've got something I need to do first, then I'll follow you. And you might think, well, he's going to go, you know, fix things, or he's going to go make sure his money's in order or whatever. He's going to do all that. No, he went and burned. Well, first of all, he killed all the oxen that he had in front of him. And he threw a big party, and he burned the plows that he had and the yokes that went around the oxen's neck, all the wood. He burned all of it and cooked all the oxen so that they could have a party, like a going away party for him. And he left. He burnt everything. He got ready and killed everything that he could have come back to. But his faith was so strong, he knew God was calling him into that. And so he just left. The next week, Nick preached about this village that didn't have enough water, and they were worried about how they were gonna have water, not only for their livestock, but for them. And Elijah said, listen, if you'll just dig a ditch. And it was a ditch to nowhere, by the way. It wasn't like a ditch to the lake or a ditch to the river, and then water would flow. And he said, no, just dig a ditch, dig a trench here in the town, and God's gonna fill it up with water. And if you were here that Sunday, you know that they dug the ditch. They had the faith to dig the ditch, and God had the power to fill it up with water. And then last week we talked about the lady that her husband died, and she didn't have the money to be able to keep paying off her debts that she had, and they were going to come and take her kids from her and use them as slaves to repay the debts that she had. Remember, he said, if Elisha told her, if you'll go and just go to all your neighbors and gather up jars, all the jars you can find. Remember, we related it to like the little butter dishes or the Cool Whip containers that your grandma would have used to put leftovers in. Like, it didn't matter what it was, just go get it. Go get all the containers you can find. And the little bit of oil she had in her home, she poured it into all these containers, and God blessed it such that the oil continued to flow as long as there is an empty container. And we learned last week that we're those empty containers, right? We're the empty vessel that God wants to use. And as long as we empty ourselves of everything else and want Jesus to come in and fill us and he'll use us and he'll strengthen our faith. But what happens when we had a faith and it's not strong anymore? Well, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And again, I'm going to read this and you're going to go, that has absolutely nothing to do with renewing my faith. But I want to show you how it does. It says this, the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, sons of the prophets, it was literally a school of prophets, we think. We think Elisha was like one of the head dudes, but all the young men that wanted to be prophets and wanted to follow God and wanted to be preachers, really, in the Old Testament, there was a whole group of them, and you're going to see there was a bunch of them. But they all came, that's who the school of the prophets were, all these young preachers who were following the prophet Elisha. And they said this, please notice that the place where we live under your supervision is too small for us. The dorm at the college was too small. You ever been there? Been there, okay? I know what that's like. You go in that little room and there's two people supposed to live in there, and your roommate, you just meet him when you come in, and he stinks like he doesn't ever take a bath. And then you find out he smokes dope, and you're like, what am I going to do about that? Like, okay, maybe that's just me. I don't know. Okay, maybe that was mine. But it was a little room, right? So the dorm room at their college wasn't big enough. He says, let us go to the Jordan. They're pleading with Elisha. Let us go down to the river Jordan where we can each get a log and build ourselves a place to live there. That's how many we know, how many prophets were studying under him. Because he said each of them could get a log and come back, and then they could build the house they need to be able to live together, and it wouldn't be so cramped. So there's a bunch of these guys, evidently. And Elisha says, go. Go for it. Verse 3, then one of them came and said, please come with your servants, and I'll come, he answered. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head, it says it fell into the water. It probably flew off as he was swinging the axe, and it fell into the water, and he cried out, oh, my master, it was borrowed. So it wasn't just that his axe fell into the water, his axe head, this iron axe head that was borrowed from somebody else is now gone. Then the man of God, that's Elisha, asked, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, the man of God took a piece of wood and he threw it there and he made the iron float. Then he said, pick it up. So he reached out and he took it. And you look at that and you go, that has absolutely nothing to do with me losing my faith or with me having my faith not as strong as it used to be or my passion not as passionate as it used to be about Jesus. But I want hopefully I'll show you that it does today. This guy had borrowed this axe and the axe head and God uses Elisha to make it float again. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but I promise you that it is. Promise you that it is because if God cares enough to make an axe head float in the water, he cares, that was lost, he cares enough about something else that's lost. In the New Testament, Jesus tells stories about things that are lost and how important they are. He tells a story about a sheep that was lost and the shepherd left 99 other sheep to go find this one sheep. Or a woman had lost a coin, a valuable coin in her house, and it said that she turned the house upside down until she found the coin. Or a dad had a son who left him. He lost his son because he just ran away. He took all of his goods with him and ran away. But then when he came back, they threw a party because he was excited that he came back. He was found. Jesus cares about lost things, and God cares about lost things, whether it's your faith or your passion or your hope or your love that you used to have. Jesus cares, and God cares about things that are lost, especially when it comes to our faith. Especially when it comes to our faith. And we don't normally mean to lose things, do we? You don't look at your wife and go, you know what, would you hide these keys somewhere so that whenever I need to go somewhere in a rush, I can't find them? I'd really like to have them lost for a little bit. We don't normally do that. You don't normally on purpose put your wallet on the car and then take off driving down the road so that you lose it. You don't normally do that on purpose. But even spiritually, especially spiritually, when we don't mean to lose the faith that we have, God will help us find it back. He'll help us get it away. How is it that you lost that faith? How did it start? What happened? Did you just start creeping away from being around your church family? Maybe your prayers you've noticed have been less and less frequent. Maybe you don't really care about talking about your faith with other people. Maybe the way you've lived your life has gotten progressively worse and worse. Less like Jesus, more like the world maybe. Maybe the way you think is negative when we ought to be thinking positively about things and about how God can bless us and how God can take care of things. That's a pretty positive way to think. And when we think opposite of that, that's called negative thinking. Maybe that's stuff that's happened. And you realize, you know, that's kind of how I've drifted away. And you know what? Pastors even struggle with that. I'd say pastors especially struggle with it. We all deal with it. I heard a guy say one time he felt like he was a full-time pastor because it was his job, but he felt like a part-time Christian because he had struggled with his faith so much. Man, I know that feeling. And maybe you know that feeling. You feel like a full-time church attender, but a part-time Christian because outside of these walls, maybe it's just not you and Jesus like it should be. You didn't mean to drift away from God, but you have. And how do you get that back? Two things real quick and we'll be done this morning. Number one, you got to be honest about where you lost it. You have to be honest about where that started to fade away. What was it? What was it that made your faith start to fade, that made the hope you had in Jesus start to fade, or the passion you had in Jesus start to fade? What was that?
Look in verse 6 again, the first sentence of verse 6. The guy has lost the axe head. He tells Elisha about it. And Elisha says this, where did it fall? Well, he probably knew because if you've ever swung an axe, you know, I'm holding it like a golf club. I don't think you hold axes like golf clubs. Whenever you swing it, you can feel the heaviness on the end. And when he went back and that bad boy slung wherever it slung, he probably had to turn and he saw it. He saw it go in the water. We have to know that he did because he asked where it fell at, and it says he showed him the place. So he knew exactly where that axe head was. He knew where he had lost that. The axe head wasn't gone. It just wasn't where he could find it anymore. It just wasn't easily accessible anymore. And it was actually just where he left it. I don't know if you know or not. You might go try this. Go throw an axe head in the lake sometime this summer. Don't go right now. It's too cold. But when you go out there in the summer and you've got boats tied up and you're just hanging out, I don't know if a phone does this, Jason, or not, but take an axe head and throw it in the water. And I guarantee you it's going to be within about a 3-foot section of where you dropped it. It's going to be there. It's not like a Cinco that you put on the end of a hook and you throw out there and that little worm does like this all the way down. And if there's a little bit of current, where is it going? It's going to go with the current. And it's going to end up on the bottom, right? If y'all don't fish, a Cinco is like a little worm about the size of a pencil, a little bit fatter. Try to catch fish with it. I don't catch very many fish with it, but some people do. But it's going to drift. That axe head wasn't going to drift. It was exactly where he saw it go in. And whenever we lose our faith or our passion, we have to be honest about where we lost it. The guy wasn't going to go, well, I saw it going over there. Elisha, it's probably over here. No, because he saw where it went. And with our faith, we have to do that as well. Where did you lose your faith at? Where did you take a wrong turn? Where did it start to go bad? Where can you look back and remember? Be honest with that time. It might hurt to be honest with yourself, but be honest with that time because God already knows when it is. He's just waiting for us to own up to it, I think. He knows exactly where it happened. Maybe it was when you dropped a spiritual discipline. Maybe it was when you stopped reading your Bible. You just kind of stopped. And you're like, you know what? I remember when I stopped. It was kind of a busy time. But I remember exactly when that was. And I bet that's where the slide started. Maybe you quit coming to Sunday school. Maybe you quit praying. Maybe you quit giving. Maybe you stopped serving in the church. Maybe you let your worship grow cold. And the songs that used to excite you about the things of Jesus, they don't excite you anymore. It's just words that you sing. Maybe that's where it started. Maybe it was that secret sin that you have in your life and you thought, you know what? It's just a secret sin. It's not going to hurt anybody else. Nobody knows about it. It's not going to hurt anybody. No, but it's hurt you and it's moved you further away from Christ. Maybe somebody in the church hurt you. You know, Christians act like that sometimes. Church people act like that sometimes. I don't know if Christians do. Not as much. Church people do act like that sometimes, though. And if you've ever been hurt and bitterness has set in, that might be the place where you started to slide. And also, if you've ever been hurt in a church, I apologize for that. And I might not even have done it, but I apologize that you've had to go through that. Because that's not the godly way to act. That's not the godly thing to do. That's not how Jesus would have responded to something. Maybe somebody hurt you, and that's where the slide started to happen. Maybe that's the spot. Maybe it was just a stressful time in life. And it was just that moment where you started to drift away from Jesus. You want to get your faith back. You want to get your passion back. You got to be honest about where it happened first. And then secondly, you've got to do this. You've got to know this. With God's help, once you find where that started to happen, with God's help, not on your own, because you can't do it on your own. If you're trying to get back to Jesus, guess what? You need Jesus, okay? You need His help. So with His help, you take back what you've lost. Get that faith back. Put a flag in the ground on October 22nd, 2023 and say, that was the day I started coming back to Jesus. And it might not happen today. You might not get all the way back tomorrow. It might be a month from now and you're like, you know what? I've grown a little bit closer to Jesus, but I'm not back where I used to be. But notice where it happened
and with Jesus' help, get back what you lost. That's what you've got to do. Look in verse 6, the second part of verse 6. He showed him the place, and the man of God, Elisha, took a piece of wood, and he threw it in, and he made the iron float. He didn't just find it for him. God didn't just make this thing float. But look what else happened in verse 7. Then he said, pick it up. God had helped him. Now he's got to do his part to get that axe head back. The axe head didn't float out of the water. It wasn't like a Disney movie. And the axe head floated out of the water, and there was like little fairies flying around, and it went, and it went right back on the axe handle. It didn't happen like that. Because this dude had to, that lost the axe head had to go pick it up, floating in the water, which was kind of cool, floating in the water, and he had to take it, and he had to beat that sucker back on the handle, and he had to get it. Maybe he put another little shim in there or something to widen it out so it wouldn't fly off again. Maybe he didn't use it. If it was me, I probably wouldn't try to use it again. I'd be like, hey, buddy, you need to cut the rest of this for me because I ain't losing old Jeff's axe head again. It ain't happening. Now, Jeff's already mad at me. I ain't losing his axe head again. But I don't know what he did, but he had to go and get that, and he had to pick it up. You have to trust God to do what he can do to get you back that passion that you've lost. But then you've got to do your part as well. God told Elisha to tell those village people a few weeks ago to dig those ditches. And then God filled up the water with water, right? If they hadn't dug a ditch, there'd be no water in those ditches for them. If the lady and her sons had not gone and got all those containers, God filled all of them up with oil, all of them they could get. And they lived off of the money if they sold it the rest of their lives, the Bible said. God blessed them that much. But they had to go get those containers. God didn't just all of a sudden put $1 million in their bank account. He said, if you'll listen to me and you'll do what I said, I'll get you what you need. God made an axe head float, and that man had to reach down and pick it up. You have to take some action to get back what you've lost. God will do his part. I promise you he'll do his part. But you've got to do your part. Get back into church. Go back to Sunday school. Open your Bible again. Find a place in the church that you can serve again. Set a specific time each day where you get in time of prayer with God. Do what you can do and trust God to do the rest. Listen, you've not gone too far. You have not done too much where you can't come back to Jesus. Did you know in Romans it says that God stands with his hands wide open for an unbelieving people? He stands wide open with them. He's waiting for you to come back. That's what he wants. He wants you to come back and renew that faith you had. In Revelation chapter 2, God says this, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. He says, remember then how far you've fallen. Know where you've come from. Repent. That's you in your mind and in your heart saying, you know what? I'm not going this direction anymore. I'm going to turn back to Jesus. That's repent. So you have to do that. And it says, and do the works you did at first. Find what it was you did. Find the place you fell off. Find what it was. Trust God to do what he can do, and then do what he asks you to do after that. That's how you get your fire back. That's how you get your passion back. That's how you get your faith back when you've lost it. And nobody is too far gone to have that done. But there's another person that's not really talked about in here, another situation that's not really in here. What if you've never had it? What if you've never had that kind of faith? What if you've never really followed Jesus? What if it's just always, listen, we live in Trigg County, Kentucky. It's the Bible Belt it's the belt that holds the Bible Belt together. Like this is, if you want to hear about Jesus, you give it about 3 seconds and you'll see something or hear something about Jesus. Like you've heard about it. You know that this is something. You see churches everywhere with people in them every Sunday. You know there's got to be something about this, but you've never really followed it. What if you've never had that faith? What if you've never really had any passion for Jesus? What if you've never really had any hope in your life for eternity? Well, God took care of that too. He didn't make an axe head float, but God sent his son, Jesus, born as a baby, just like you and I were. He lived a perfect life, but was killed in the most horrible death on a cross that you and I could have ever imagined. And he wasn't killed because of the wrong he did. He was killed because of the wrong we did. And all the sin that we've ever done would be poured on him while he was on that cross, so that he died a death that you and I wouldn't have to die. He wants to forgive you today, because you can't forgive your sin on your own. Oh, you can be sorry for it. You can forgive somebody else for doing something wrong to you. But eternally, that doesn't do anything. Because you and I are, all of us in here, we've all messed up, right? We said it, Hannah Montana got it right. Nobody's perfect. We've all messed up. And because of that, we need somebody that hasn't messed up to do the forgiving for us. That's Jesus. He wants to give you a new life today. He wants to lead you and guide you today. He wants to forgive you of your sins today. Do you know the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? We've all messed up. But Romans 5:8 says that God proved his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I always translate that like this: in the middle of the worst sin you could have ever imagined committing, maybe you've done something horrible nobody else knows about. In the middle of that, Jesus still went to a cross and died for you. And you know why he did that? Romans 6:23 says, because the wages of sin is death. When you go to a job, it pays out wages, right? That's what it pays out to you. That's what you get. You go and you work, and they send you money. It's a pretty good gig, right? You get money for doing something. Well, when you sin, you get death. That's not very good. That's not the same kind of good gig as getting a job and getting money. When you sin, the wages of that sin is death. You get paid out death. So Jesus had to step in, and he gives us a gift. He hands it out to you on his hand, and all you have to do is receive it. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, in no other way. And you say, well, how do I do that, Justin? How do I receive Jesus? How do I know Jesus today? How do I follow Jesus? How do I have that faith you've talked about this whole time? How do I have that passion you've talked about this whole time? How do I have my sins forgiven? Romans chapter 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that Jesus just was who he said he was, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Be saved from what? Be saved from your sin. That's what you'll be saved from. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. That just means that you're made right with God. So believing in your heart makes you right with God. And one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. You want to be saved? Tell Jesus you want to be saved this morning. That's what that means. Believe it in your heart and then tell him with your mouth, Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me. I want to have that faith in you so that you can lead my life, so that you can guide me, so that I can live for you and not for me anymore. And my favorite verse probably in all of Scripture, Romans 10:13, tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Nobody in here is too far gone this morning. Nobody in here has done too much bad. Nobody in here has run far enough away from Jesus where he won't accept you if you call on him today. He will accept you. He will forgive you. He will love you. He will give you a new heart. He will give you a new passion. He will give you a new faith if you will confess your sins to him today. If you'll confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, it says you'll be saved. And nobody's exempt from that. Anybody can follow Jesus this morning. Anybody can accept Jesus this morning. Which one of these people are you today? Are you the one that has lost a little bit of the edge in your faith? Are you the one that has kind of leaned off and drifted off and gotten away from Jesus a little bit from a faith that you had at one point, and you need to get that back? Because it's life and death. Maybe not your life and death. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus and you're just not where you used to be. But maybe it's life and death for somebody else that's watching you and wants to know about Jesus and you're not showing them Jesus. I don't know what it is. But where'd you lose it at? And how are you going to trust God to get it back for you? What are you going to do to get it back with God's help? Maybe that's you. If that's you this morning, you need to come pray that out. You need to come talk to me. I'll be down here. Don't leave this place without getting that straight. We invite people to come down and pray during our closing song if you'd like to do that. Leave that junk at these steps. Leave that junk down here. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I've just never really had any faith. Just never really followed Jesus. I've been to church a bunch. I've been with friends. I've been with family. Maybe I've attended one for a while. I've just never really given my life to Jesus. I've never really trusted Him to lead my life. I never trusted Him to forgive me. And if I was to die today, I don't know that I'd be with Him for all eternity. Well, you can know that today. You can know that today. If you want that today, you come down and tell me that, and I'll show you. We'll talk about those scriptures again I just showed you. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, there's no special things you have to do, no special things you have to say. Just confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, it says, and believe in your heart that He is who He said He is. And Scripture says you'll be saved. Scripture says you'll be a follower of Jesus. He'll give you that faith that you've heard about today. He'll give you that passion that you've heard about today. Do you need that today? Is that what you need? Do you need Jesus today? Man, he's dealing with your heart right now, and you're like, I don't know what I need to do. Well, you just need to give your life to Jesus. So I'll be down here as we get ready to play, as the band plays this last song for us. As we sing, if you need Jesus, you come down here and tell me that, man, and I'll show you what it means to give your life to Him. It'd be an awesome, awesome day, one you'll never forget. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Man, thank You so much for the story of Elisha. There's so many great stories of his faith that he had. Maybe it's a whole nother month that we spend on it next year. But Jesus, we're thankful. Thankful so much for the life that You showed us through Him. For the faith that You showed us through Him. Lord, I pray that as Christians we would show that same faith. That we would follow You in that same way that He did. And then Jesus, maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here today that's kind of lost that faith, lost that passion, lost that hope that they used to have. Man, let today be the day they start to get it back. They do what they can do, and You do what You can do. And Lord, the day's the day they start to get that faith back. Help them to get back to that time, be honest with themselves, get back to that time where they lost that faith. And start to pick it back up. And then Jesus, maybe there's somebody here today just doesn't know You. Man, they've heard about You their whole life. They've heard the stories. They celebrate Christmas. They put the baby Jesus in a manger. And they do all that stuff. But Jesus, they've just never given their lives to You. They've never fully turned their life over to You. Today could be that day, Jesus, because anybody that calls on Your name can be saved. So Lord, I pray there's an anybody in here today that just can't wait another minute, that just needs to turn their life over to You. Jesus, we love You and we thank You for all that You do for us. You move in our hearts now. We ask it in Your name. Amen.